Give the Lord a wave offering this evening and talk to the Lord from the depths of your heart. Tell him you are ready to receive. Tell him you are ready. Show him your excitement about it. Don't be moody. Show your expectation this evening. Show your expectation. If you are hoping to receive something from the Lord, you can as well tell him tonight. Go ahead and tell him. That affliction ends tonight. He can't live here tonight. It ends tonight. He said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Our light affliction, the Bible said, but for a moment. He said, but they work for us an exceeding weight of glory. And so if you are ready tonight to receive, this is the moment for you. Lift your hands and tell the Lord you are ready. Don't be a spectator. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. Have your way tonight and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated for a moment. We began some very intensive prayers, very, very intensive prayers 2 weeks ago. And since that prayers started, the devil began we started receiving reprisal attacks from the devil. And it's normal. When you start striking chords in the spirit, it's natural to receive feedbacks. But you see, sometimes when the devil wants to manifest, he will need human vessels, weak people, godless people. And in my own journey in the spirit, I've come to discover that one of the most ferocious principality in the spirit is the god of mammon. It blights the heart of people and makes them godless. And so people who are ruled by money are the easiest preys in the hand of the devil. I said that to tell you that the reason some of these things happen is because some slaves of mammon are here. It's supposed to be can oriented, so you expect it to be godly, but mammon is a body. That's why things can happen in the middle of the service. They don't have the fear of God. And it's such a body. So what we will do is that two things. The urgent thing we'll do is that we'll disconnect from their light source and start our own light source. So that if that prince comes upon them, it will manifest somewhere else, not in the service. You know, when I begin to teach, you understand, when you come for a spiritual service like this, atmospheres are important. Any little thing that tampers with your heart posture can rob the whole service. Somebody may have come here with cancer. If the atmosphere is tampered, it's not about the light, the cancer can no longer be addressed. And this may be the person's last hope. So what we'll do now is that, because we know that they are slaves of mammon here, we will disconnect from their light source and start our own light source. That's the urgent thing we'll do. And then the long-term thing we'll do is that from today, we'll start looking for land. It has touched my faith. See, you know, we move by faith. When your faith is not stirred, you will be, now my faith has, something has happened to my faith. So from today, and you'll be shocked, in less than 3 months, we may migrate from here. People who are godless, it's difficult to operate with them. If you start, it will affect your heart. Meanwhile, your heart is your most precious asset. And you don't want to have issues with your heart because godless people control things. Are we together? So tonight, the first thing we'll do is, just in case you have that burden that I have, and you want to be part of the effort to disconnect from the light source, I just want a few people who are led by the Spirit. These are not emotional things. I won't call you forward. I will pray for you, but not here. So that you do it because God led you. You want to give 1 million. Next week we disconnect from their light. You want to give 1 million. Media, place the account number. I will give. Me, I will give too. So it's not. But I want you to be part of it. So that from next Sunday we disconnect from their light source. Present the account number. And put somebody's number online. Just text your name. I will pray. I won't call you, but I will pray for you. We have to shift. And then in 3 months' time, we will announce the land. I know you don't believe. When it happens, then that's when some people start believing. Okay. All right. Let me leave it open. You can't give 1 million. Whatever you are led to give, just give so that everybody is a part of it. So display the account. When you give, text your name there and let me pray for you. But this one won't happen again. It can't happen again. This evening is a healing service. And so we know that God will touch people's bodies. Before I begin to share the word of God tonight, I want to welcome a minister of the gospel who is here with us with his wife this evening, Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Stephen AGK. Thank you so much for coming. It's good to see you. Pastor with Deeper Life for over 35 years. Thank you for coming. Every minister in the house this evening, we honor you deeply. Thank you for coming to share fellowship with us. The Lord bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands toward heaven. You can sit down. You don't need to stand up. And tell the Lord one more time to bring you a visitation. For a moment, please sit down. I'm going to be sharing with us for 40 minutes. The Lord is not just here to heal broken bodies, but He wants to raise men that will carry the witness of healing to the ends of the earth. One thing the devil wants to use in the last days to bring terror on the human race is sickness. And so in this season, it's important that number one, your faith is built for healing and for divine help. And number two, it's important that you understand how to bring healing to people
and to territories. Because when the people are held down by fear, when the people are held down in fear, then the devil will have liberty to exercise his government. There are many people today who have turned to diabolism because of the hopelessness they find or find themselves in as touching, receiving healing for their bodies. And so when they try everything and nothing works, they have no choice but to succumb to the devil. And the devil knows that man is that pliable. He knows that man is that susceptible. So, if you study the book of Job, after he wreaked havoc on the man's asset and he wouldn't bow, he told the Lord, skin for skin. He said, a man will give anything for his body. They have weighed man in the spirit and they understand that anything that affects the body of a man, that man will do anything to defend it. And so in these last days, one of the weapons the devil is using to enslave people is the weapon of sickness and disease. And so we must build our faith to resist it, and we must also learn how to, by the Spirit, bring healing to our loved ones and bring healing to the nations of the world. I was in a vigil in Lagos on Saturday, and I taught them a few principles for walking and manifesting the excelling life that we have in Christ Jesus. And it was a vigil. People were so tired and exhausted. In fact, I came up around 2 a.m. in the morning. But when they learned the principles and we applied it, literal growth dematerialized. Literally. And I will show you here this evening how sickness came about. Because if you don't understand how sickness came about, you will try to fight the manifestations you see. And because of the understanding you have medically, you would even be more defeated in your effort to fight it. Because for instance, you'll be contemplating, how can a growth just vanish like that? Because medically you know that the only way such a thing can happen is through surgery. It has to be torn and the growth has to be removed for the growth to go. But I will show you something here tonight that will help you and help your faith to come alive. And when your faith comes alive, you will learn how to begin to administer by the power of God the life that is in your spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. When you look at the human framework, your body exists in different cadres. The experiences of your body are factored into stratas. And the higher the strata of your interaction, the stronger the influence on you. Biologically speaking, for instance, man predominantly is encased in flesh. And so you can see the physical aspect of you. Your hands, your legs, your bones, you can touch it, you can feel it. That's the first layer of your being. But inside this physical one, this thick one you can see, there is another one that is a bit lighter than this. They are the fluids in your body. The fluids in your body have superior influence in your framework. And so when you go to the hospital, for instance, and they're about to study whatever it is happening to you, they can just get your blood. The moment they get your blood, they can interpret everything about your body. And what they will get sometimes is a drop. That drop is enough to give all the information about your current state. Because the fluid is a superior aspect of your being. Now, when you go deeper in the human framework, you'll discover there is another dimension of you that is not fluid. It's literally intangible. It's energy. They are called neurons. So neurotransmitters of your brain, they don't deal with fluids. They don't deal with flesh. They deal with impulses that are like electric current. Your heart, for example, functions by cardiac, the operations of the cardiac muscles. And what the cardiac muscles do is literally generating electric current. So there is a dimension of this, your physical being, that is invincible. It goes to reveal to you that you were built into the spirit realm. And that can be explained biblically. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible said God formed the dust from the ground. The dust is what you see here. And he said God breathed into the dust the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. That means the physical man is built into the spirit realm. Because the physical man is built into the spirit realm, spirits have the power to interfere with the body of a man. So the outcomes of your physical body is a product of the spirit that is constantly interfering with your being, because you were built into the spirit realm. Therefore, whatever you see in your physical body is a manifestation of the interactions that are taking place between your invincible dimension and the spirit realm. The devil knows this. God knows this. Every spirit in the realm understands this. Only man doesn't. And that's why man is always the victim. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. In a service like this, if God wants to help you, with this background knowledge I've given to you, there are three ways God can reach out to you. The first way God can reach out to you is by what we call the tangible expression of the presence of God. So sometimes when God wants to deal with your body, the presence of God becomes tangible. The tangible aspect of God's presence can begin to influence you from the neural aspect of you until it affects you, because you are an antenna. Have you noticed before that when you enter a room where people quarrel, even though they are trying to compose themselves and coordinate themselves, the moment you come in, you know there was crisis here, because you can pick the energy. So the first way God affects people in a service like this is by creating an atmosphere of his presence. So there are times when you step into a healing service, what you sense is a tangible presence of God. There are times when you are ministering to people and God flows through an atmosphere. In the system of the atmospheric ministration, you require a lot of sensitivity to be able to receive. I'm sharing this with you so you will know how to create healing in your house, and you know how to create healing anywhere. If you are able to bring that atmosphere of God, you will discover that naturally things will begin to happen on their own accord. This is why when we come for healing meetings, sometimes we spend a lot of time praying. Sometimes we spend time worshiping God. We are trying to generate an atmosphere, because there are many people that will be ministered to by that atmosphere. Why is this possible? Because you are a neurotransmitter. You connect to energy. And so the energy of God that comes has the power to affect you. There are most of you that the Holy Ghost have been trying to arrest your attention, but you didn't know that your healing will not come when I'm preaching. So you distracted yourself. Believers must be taught how spiritual things work so they can make the most of them. The second way God can bring healing to you in a healing service like this is through what we call the force of life. The force of life is what we also call the anointing. Because the anointing is the byproduct of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So the anointing is made up of two things. One, the person, and secondly, the overflow of that person. The person is the Holy Ghost. The overflow is the force of life that comes out of the Holy Spirit. So there are times when you are in a meeting, as the word of God is going on, a point comes, the place becomes charged. So you know that there is a transmission going on. That charge is what will affect your body. You may not literally hear your case being called, But because that energy keeps hitting you, a point will come, it will restructure your molecular structure. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, 5 verse 9, 17 rather, the Bible said Jesus was preaching. It said the Pharisees were there and the power of God was present to heal them. That's the force of life. Most people have heard my messages. I'm not even talking about healing. I'm preaching on prayer. I'm preaching on holiness. And then energy hits them so hard and cancer dematerializes. And they are wondering, I wasn't listening to healing. It had nothing to do with their faith. It had everything to do with their reception of that energy. The power was present to heal. In Luke chapter 6 verse 19, the Bible said they brought many and they strived to touch him. And he said as many as touched him, it said virtue went out of him and healed them all. So the second way God brings ministration to you in a healing service like this is through the life force of the anointing. It begins to hit you. You find yourself weeping. Sometimes you find yourself on the floor. You don't know what is happening. I'm saying this because by the time the atmosphere shifts, whichever ministration is going on, you will know how to align yourself to receive. There are many people that God is trafficking in their direction, but they say they won't fall down. Instead of being sensitive to the energy that is coming, they are trying to stand where? Nobody needs to touch you to fall, my brothers and sisters. That energy will overwhelm you. When you are done wasting your time, you know, 2 Sundays ago, a young man came here. I don't know where he came from, but people come from all over. And something hit him when he fell down. He went out and he was so offended. Why was he offended? The clothes, he bought it that day. And the shirt was dirty. He was like, how can me, somebody like me, be on the floor? You don't know the spirit you came before. If you know it's Elohim, even before he speaks, you would have gone on the floor. It shows that he doesn't have spiritual understanding. So there's an energy that comes to you. That's why when we are in a meeting like this, don't try to stop people. Allow them. God ministers to them differently. You might hear the word going on and somebody is shouting. And then you are saying, what is happening here? Your reception is different. He is interacting with energy. You have not picked that energy yet. So while you are trusting God for your faith to be released, allow the person to be operating in what is operating. Because you can be healed by any means. Praise the Lord. The third way God will reach out to you in a meeting like this is through the ministration of the word. We call it the power of faith. As the word comes in your direction, it brings light and illumination to your spirit. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. So as you are hearing, faith will come alive in your spirit. And suddenly, that thing you were so afraid of, it just means it looks as if it's nothing to you. And then you stand up. And then you begin to make declarations. And you find the growth vanish. Not because something special happened. Faith came alive in your spirit. If you know how to respond to the word in your bedroom, that level of faith can be generated. And you can deal with anything lying on your bed. Because nobody doing it is special. It's the different dimension of God flowing through men that makes it special. It has nothing to do with any man. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. So you can receive it by the force of faith. You are mighty on your throne. In Psalm 107 verse 20, it said he sent his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from all their oppression. Why is this important? Somebody may come here waiting for hands to be laid on him. That's beautiful. But sometimes you don't have the opportunity to have hands laid on you. When the word comes in your direction and you receive that word, you will discover that the word you receive in itself is the power to heal you. Because that word did not come to educate you. That word came to bring a change to your ecosystem. And so it's important to know how to receive that word. Why am I saying this? Because while I was waiting on the Lord told me particularly that many persons who will be healed in this service will be healed by the ministration of the word. And so I had to take my time to search the scriptures and to get faith-filled words as I was inspired by the Holy Ghost to bring them in your direction, because he told me already that many will be healed by the ministration of the word. There are meetings I go for, and God heals people by the anointing. I come up as I'm worshiping, the power of God breaks upon the people, and healings begin to take place. Strange healings. But he has told me tonight that he will heal by the word. Now, why is it important? Number one, you have to pay attention to every word that I will be speaking tonight, because embedded in those words are the healings you are looking for. Embedded in those words are the signs you are waiting for. Embedded in those words are the transformation you are waiting for. Because if you can't catch the word tonight, it may be difficult for you to receive what you are looking for. Because God said he will visit us tonight by the word of the Lord. Number two, why is it important? Because God wants to do something much more than healing. Because when God wants to bring you the word of the Lord, it means beyond healing, he wants to equip you so that you will do the same. That's why I began by announcing to you that God is raising men that will carry the healing power to the nations of the world. He doesn't just want to heal people tonight. He wants to empower people tonight to bring healing to other people. It's important for you to understand this, so you pay attention to everything I'll be sharing. And so tonight, for your healing to come to you experientially, and I said experientially because all of us are already healed. For your healing to come to you experientially, there are three things you must have a very accurate understanding of. Number one is the works of the devil. If you don't know the works of the devil, you may never receive your healing. This is not a motivation for you to go and study the demonic realm, but this is to let you understand how the devil works, so you know what to do to come out of his snare. The Bible said we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. If you don't understand the works of the devil, you will stray into his cave. You will stray into his traps. And you won't know that the many things you are doing hoping to receive your healing is what is actually keeping you in bondage. That's why it's important to understand the works of the devil. Number two, it's important for you to understand the finished works of Jesus Christ. Because everything you can ever receive from God today is trapped within the boundaries of the finished works of Jesus Christ. And then number three, what you need to do is to understand your own works. And I will explain what your works are. Praise the Lord. Because somebody, a theologian, is already trying to say, do I need to do something to be healed? Didn't you call it the finished works of Christ? I will explain to you. Praise the Lord. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. There are three dimensions to the expression of the works of the devil. The reason is because when God created man, no spirit had authority over man. And because no spirit had authority over man, no spirit could affect man. So when the devil wants to begin to work in your life, meanwhile, it's important for you to know that when the devil is working in your life, three aspects of your life will be buffeted. Number one is your body. When the devil is working in your life, he deals with your body. The reason is because he can't help it. Even if he wanted to help it, he doesn't have the ability. Because what you call sickness is the expression of the nature of that devil. The devil carries sickness as part of his nature. So when he finds expression in your body, sickness will naturally manifest. When the devil is working in your life, the second thing he will do is that he will manipulate your soul. He will darken your understanding. So you are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Number three, when the devil is working around your life, he affects your circumstances. He frustrates your circumstances. But how does the devil gain authority to begin to walk in a man's corridor? Is when the man allows him way through sin. So the first and primary work of the devil is to allow men stray away in rebellion. The reason every man became vulnerable to sickness is because all of us strayed away from God. In Isaiah chapter 53, from verse 6, it said, all we like sheep have strayed away. Every man have gone his own way. The moment we strayed away in iniquity, we opened ourselves up to the devil. And one way the devil manifests his powers and attributes is through sickness. So the first thing the devil does is that he lures you to sin. If you did not open yourself to rebellion and sin, it would have been impossible for the devil ever to be able to bring sickness to your quarters. And so after God heals you, it's important for you to understand that you can no longer open your life up through sin. So if you were living in fornication, if you were living in lies, if you were living in exaggeration, when God visits you, it's important for you to lock that gate, because when the devil leaves, he usually comes back. Jesus healed a man who was born blind, and he said to him, ensure that you go and you depart from sin, lest, he said, a more grievous thing comes upon you. Because Jesus knows that when people expose themselves to sin, they open the room to the devil. And when the devil comes, one of the tokens he has to offer is sickness. That's why Paul teaching in Ephesians 4:27, he said, giving no place to the devil. So when you want to really fight sickness and walk in divine health, one area of your life you will pay attention to is the area of righteousness. You will insist that by all means, you will yield to the Holy Spirit enough to minimize the possibility of sins around you. So your primary battle is not against sickness. Your primary battle is against sin. Because sin is what opens the door to the devil. If you fight sickness and you leave the door of sin open, the sickness will be healed, but it will come back. Because so long as that door is open, the devil will show up. If you don't shut that door, you will fall sick again and again and again and again. Because sickness is a product of sin, and sin is a product of the devil. So the first thing the devil does in people's lives is to lure them to sin. The second thing the devil does, which is the work of the devil, is to seize your authority. When you have fallen into sin, the power and the right you have over the devil, he takes it away from you. In Romans chapter 6 verse 16, it said, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, it said, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. Whomever you yield yourself servants to obey. So every time you give room to the devil, you are not just doing something you enjoy. You are actually relinquishing your authority. It's like taking your scepter of authority and giving it to the devil and asking him to buffet you. So why people are struggling to come out of sickness, they don't know their problem is not sickness. Their problem is either the fact that they have opened the door of sin, or because they have allowed the devil the scepter of authority over their lives. So they wonder why this sickness will not go away. The sickness will not go away because the one handling the scepter is standing there. When the devil takes authority over your life, there are two ways he brings sickness to you. Number one, he brings it directly. The devil can attack you directly if he has authority over you. In John chapter 9, from verse 1 to verse 9, to verse 3, let me stop there. The disciples met Jesus because they met a man who was born blind. And they said, who sinned that this man was born blind? And Jesus said, nay. He said, but that for the glory of the Father to be made manifest. So what Jesus was talking about is, this being is exercising authority over this man to take the glory. So I will come with another form of authority to disarm this authority so that I will shift the glory to the Father. So when a man is healed, it's actually a way of glorifying the Father. When a man is healed, it's actually a revelation of disarming of authority. Because the reason the man was sick is because there was an authority and a dominion being exercised over that man. Every sickness you are suffering now is an area where the devil is exercising authority. Every crisis you are going through now is an area where the devil is exercising authority. It's not because you were bitten by mosquitoes. Because I will come there. If I go too fast, I want you to follow me gradually. In Luke chapter 13, verse 16, Jesus met a woman who was bent over. She had hunchback. And when Jesus approached her, Jesus said something very strange. You know, medical science have a name for it. But when Jesus came, Jesus told us, he said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who has been bound by Satan these 18 years, be let loose? Who has been bound by Satan these 18 years, be let loose? And he said, woman, thou art loose. And instantly, the woman stood upright. So what did Jesus do? It was a game of authority. There was another spirit exercising authority over the woman, and Jesus came with a superior authority. The moment he loosed the woman, by breaking the authority of that spirit over the woman discovered that her bones were not bent. It was actually a demon pressing her down, and she could naturally stand up. What happened? The one with authority was cast out. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all that were oppressed. Not all that had were beaten by malaria. Not all that had cancer. Not all that had accident. He said healing all. Hope you remember, some of the people Jesus healed were sick by natural effect. But even though their sickness came by natural effect, the Bible said healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That means everybody Jesus healed was oppressed of the devil. You now ask the question, what about those who fall sick by natural accident, by natural issues, or by natural happenings? That's the indirect way the devil brings sickness on people. The reason is because when he took Adamic authority, he took over authority over the earth realm. He took over authority of the earth realm. So when the devil cannot attack you directly, the devil can manipulate situations. And those situations will be so staged that you will find yourself as a victim in between. It's because the devil took authority over nature. That's why people have accidents. That's why water, river can overflow. That's why earthquakes can happen. Because he is now the governor of the earth realm. And because he rules the earth realm, he can manipulate situations to make you a victim. So whether you had that issue by accident, or you had that issue because a demon was oppressing you, it is all an oppression of the devil. And when we show up, the first point of contact is the devil. When you know this, you will be ready to take the first step into divine healing. And that first step is that you will begin to wage war over demons. So you wake up in the morning, your head is aching. Before you begin to think about the pain, you first of all search around any demon playing around your head. You begin to deal with the matter from the foundation of the problem. If you are going out and your car is about to slip from the road, you will know that a demon is about to play around you, either directly or indirectly. So what that will do for you is that there will be a holy anger against the devil. That's why the Bible said, because thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. So anything that is not God's perfect will for your life will enrage you against the devil. Many people are sick today because they are calm. They are going through crisis. They say, well, it is well, I will be fine. There is nothing well. If you don't wake up to rage against the devil, it will start from a simple symptom of pain in your belly. And after a while, they will say it's ulcer. After a while, they will say your intestines are ruptured. After a while, they will say it has something to do with your organs. Why? Because when it started, you handled the devil with kids' glove. And the devil knows that, okay, this one is not ready for war. And because this one is not ready for war, I've taken 1 centimeter. Let me take 100 meters. If it doesn't wake up for war, okay, I've taken 100 meters. Let me take 1,000 kilometers. And it begins from headache to tumor in the brain. And it goes from tumor in the brain to grave. Because the person did not know that even though it looks like a natural occurrence, the devil is involved. But when a man understands that every sickness is a product of the work of the devil, the moment the least thing happened to him, he wakes up in anger. He wakes up in aggression. Such a man, even the devil knows that coming around his borders is a risk. And the moment you begin to live like that, you will discover that affliction will begin to minimize around you. Because you went out and you fell. And you came to the house, you say, I fell. Because you fell, you will torment every demon in that neighborhood for 1 month. Next time, if you want to fall, demons will help you. Because you were coming out of your gate. Your car brushed the gate. What? My car brushed. Next time, if you, as your car brushed the gate, every accident in that neighborhood for the next 6 months, because of your intercession, you will stop them. So, because the devil knows that anything that happens to you now frustrates their territorial agenda, they will mount demons to guard your house. You think it's only angels that guard men? There are some men that they want demons from the demonic realm. Don't go near this one. If you go near him, every plan we have for Abuja will fail. So if it will affect you, they will ask every demon, don't go there. Because if you touch that man, if you take one from him, he will take 10,000 from the devil. If you take two from him, he will take 100,000 from the devil. And because the devil has calculated and discovered that it is better not to touch this man, because if I touch him, he will come out of it, and he will not just come out of it. The impact will now overwhelm me. Let us leave him alone. People have many medical explanations for their crisis. That's why they remain where they are. Everything that happens to them, they begin to explain biochemistry and physiology, anatomy, and the way they talk it. I've become wise. My elder brother was sick. Very painful story. I didn't wake up in battle. He woke up and he said he was feeling pain on the left side of his head. If you are feeling pain, take paracetamol. Paracetamol have become demi-Jesus in our homes now. Take paracetamol. Two paracetamol. After 7 days, they say typhoid. Okay, when you have typhoid, there is somebody that used to do this herbal stuff. If he buys it and takes for 3 days, he becomes strong. We didn't know this time it was an arrow. He took herbal drugs. After 1 week, he deteriorated again. Suddenly they said that they are seeing that part of his nerves are beginning to experience partial paralysis. What is going on here? But meanwhile, because I didn't take my stand, the devil had already overtaken me. I tried to fight. I discovered I was weak. After the third week, he was in coma. How can pain on the left side of the head lead to coma? When the demon is involved, every day you hear new things. Because as he's taking grounds and you are not standing up, he will be taking grounds. He will be taking grounds. From coma, he died. If I hit my leg against stone now, the demon is in trouble. I don't care which one, whether it's mistake or a demon. Every demon around that place is in trouble. Because I've come to understand that the Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It said neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Nothing happening on earth is a coincidence. Earth is like a field where spirits participate in their league. If it is negative, one way or the other, you will trace it and discover a demon is involved. And so, in order not to waste your life and time to live by luck and chance, the moment it begins, you will cover the mileage that the devil is not ready to cover. Many people are bedridden today because they thought it was backache. And they didn't wake up until the devil turned it from backache to complete paralysis. You will not war against sickness if you don't know it's the finger of a demon. You know, some people can even come for healing service like this and they will compose themselves. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. If you say this, you sing hallelujah. They are doing style. You don't know you are in the war. Is it in war that you are coordinating yourself? When you know that this is battle, like Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy. They say, shut up. Me, shut up. Shut up. If this man passes, when next will he pass? He turns from them and he's threatening, son of David, because this is war. You compose yourself, you become a casualty. You don't know how vicious demons are. It started with headache, because you can bear headache. You don't know he's going for brain tumor. It started with back pain, Because you can manage the back pain. You say, we'll manage. Manage what? You were not created to manage anything. You were created to live in the fullness of the likeness of God. Instead, you have received of the fullness of grace. It is the fullness only that you are qualified for. You can't tolerate cough. You will leave this meeting and you will refuse to tolerate cough. You will refuse to tolerate headache. You will refuse to tolerate anything. Whatever it is, wherever it's come from, the devil is the victim, is the guilty one. And I will fight him out of my space. You don't come for services like this and compose yourself. If the people around you know you and you feel you'll be ashamed, leave them, go and stand outside. Because there are times when you need to run. There are times when you need to shout. And you will put your coordination aside. Kakatota, barakatuate, edeatotata, jadaka, horatea. The warrior in you must wake up. That's how we take our healing. The word is katalambano. You don't play around it. You take it by force. Have you not seen people die of headache? There is something in medical science, they call it idiopathic medicine. Because even doctors don't know the cure of many diseases. They were trained to compose themselves. While you are dying, they will coordinate themselves. Do you know why I told you the story of my brother? On the fifth day in the hospital, they went and brought one neurologist. They said this one just became a consultant. And so the doctors around said, he just passed the exam, that they are hot. These are the real ones. I now said, thank God. Thank God. When the guy was coming into the hospital, seven doctors were following him. Because he's a consultant. He was walking like this. One of the doctors is the houseman. Another one is a senior registrar. And then the ones who are students, because it was a teaching hospital. Over seven doctors. He walked like this. He came. He carried one iron. He lifted his knee. He hit it. He put his ear. He carried this one. When he was doing it, I said, Jesus, thank you. You have sent somebody that will help us. He finished doing that thing. The next day, my brother entered coma. Life is lived once. You can't allow your life to be an experiment. Thank God for medical science. But I know something that does not pay. It's that the name of the Lord is a strong power. The righteous runneth therein and they are saved. I will not run into paracetamol. I will not run into any drug. The name of the Lord is a strong power. The righteous. Marakata kebash. Help those under the power. Malega suda. Barakadona. Antetae. Balatuate kavanata. Arora shada. Barone. Barakodiata kapadania toda bagadash. Regetatano sabate.
For 2 years, for 3 years, and becomes an ulcer. Why wouldn't the injury heal? A demon is involved. When he hit his leg on a stone, he assumed it was an accident. He didn't know that a demon guided his step. If only he woke up on time, he would have surveyed the situation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, he said, give me no place to the devil. Give me no place. He's a wicked creature. A wicked creature. In the name of Jesus. Barakava televande. Bragadida sava. Hear me. There's somebody by my left hand here. You can't lift your hands off. There's a weight the devil has put on your shoulders. Lift that hands up now. You are healed. Are you the one, ma? Take that power. Maravadoka Padeas. Aliyah. Aliyah. Abreno Save. In the name of Jesus. You fail and you begin to suffer the day you take things for granted. I just turned and saw a friend of mine. He's one of the smartest young men I've met in Abuja for more than 10 years. I'll give him 5 minutes to testify this evening. More than 10 years. He did everything every smart person does in this city. He went nowhere. One day he woke up and said, this is not normal. And he met me. I was in a hotel. I said, knee down. As I laid hands on him, in 3 months, the car he drove to meet me stopped by the road. As I'm talking to you now, he has a 2020 Camry. 2020. As I'm talking to you, he has bought his own duplex. Every day, job upon job. What happened? It's not just about the wisdom. There is an encasement of darkness. And so you can't take things for granted. Whether it's your circumstances or your health, you wake up in the morning. Katakabata, regatadash, malatwa, velakina, ragabade doate, balo shataka, maria tabena kazuze, avendo pragata tuata, alegatagabonas. In the name of Jesus, listen, the reason we walk in victory is because we have understood how darkness works. We were home. They brought my dad. Suddenly, they said they are noticing something that has to do with prostate and his back spinal cord. What? When the doctor spoke, I said, thank you. We dropped it. Around 12 midnight, we woke up. That's when we do our own surgery. Bashada, dakakata, obo, ebe, azuzakavata, barakado. But when we finish, after 3 days, somebody in the village, his right leg began to decay. His right leg. He died after 7 days. The day his leg began to decay, my dad stood up. Today, he doesn't need any drug. Who told you life is natural? You don't know, that's why you have not waged war. But somebody will say no from this service. Somebody will say no. You will rebel. Maleko, Avela Tuash. Help those under the power. I stretch hands over you. Mela Suda. Meradia to Mateke. Azota Valigata. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We went somewhere to pray for a woman. She was bedridden. When we entered the room, she could not as much as open her eyes. She was so weak and paraplegic. when we started praying, all of a sudden, this woman that could not as much as open her eyes jumped out of the bed, began to crawl like a dog, and was barking on top of her voice. That was when we realized what kept her on the bed was the spirit of a dog. You don't know how things work. Somebody will rebel tonight and say, Satan, pack your load and go. Satan, pack your load and go. If you are that person, pray brutally. There's an energy hitting this building.
Yes, sir.
Somebody is literally vomiting something. Every power that have held you down, every form of sickness that your body have manifested on ground, online, I come to you by the Spirit of the Christ. In the name of Jesus, I cause that affliction.
Amen.
Talavasila Pandre Giva Kata. I command growth in the body to begin to dematerialize.
Amen.
Every unwanted growth in your body right now, I curse it to its root.
Amen.
I curse it to its root.
Amen.
I command growth shrink.
Amen.
And dematerialize.
Amen.
On ground, online. I command broken bones in the name of Jesus, receive strength.
Amen.
Receive strength.
Amen.
Receive strength.
Amen.
Be healed right now.
Amen.
Yeshua. Somebody by my right hand, somewhere here, you came with diabetes, a sugar infection. Hear me, the word of the Lord comes to you now. That affliction is cursed. I curse diabetes. I command your sugar level to be restored in the name of Jesus. Take that power by the Spirit. Yeshua. Somebody here, there is a growth somewhere in your tummy. There's something like a growth somewhere down. I don't know if it's a hyena kind of growth. Tap that place. You feel this pain inside your tummy. Somewhere downward here. I see that in the spirit. Right now, I curse that growth. I curse that growth. Dematerialize. And I command the pains to go. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Who is the person? You are the one. Check it. Tap that place and so check it. Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Sit down for a moment. I didn't come to heal tonight by energy. The second thing you must know about divine healing are the finished works of Christ. Just the way the power of the devil and the power of sickness is rooted in sin, the power for divine health is rooted in righteousness. And so when Jesus came, the first thing he did was to pay the price for your sin, so that the judgment of sin is withdrawn. The outcomes and the effect of sin is withdrawn. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, the Bible said he made him that was without sin to become sin for us, so we'll become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the power and the effect of sin no longer have sway over you. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, it said, "For this cause was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And the first thing he dealt with was sin. There is no legality that should keep you in sickness anymore, because sin that is at the foundation has been dealt with. The second thing Jesus did was that he stripped Satan of authority. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, it says, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Having spoiled. Now, it would have been enough if he stripped the devil of authority, but he didn't stop there. That authority, he brought it to you. And in Matthew 28 verse 18, it said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He now says, "You go in that power. Go in that power." In John 20:21, it said, "As my Father have sent me, so send I you." So you are not just cleansed from the guilt of sin. You now have the authority that the devil once had over you. So the devil should be afraid of you. The problem is that you are not aware. That's why when you wake up and something is going wrong, you don't look for a prophet. You don't look for an apostle. You say, "In the name of Jesus, I address this matter." In Mark chapter 16 verse 17, it said, "Everyone that believes and is baptized," from verse 15, it said, "You should go and preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone that believes and is baptized will be saved." And it said in verse 17, "This power, this ability shall follow them that believe." He called that ability signs and wonders. That means from now, you are not trying to live well. No. If he came to die so that you will live well, it would have been pathetic, because he doesn't need to die for you to live well. He came so that you will become a sign and a wonder. So you are not just going to live well. Even when you are old, when you are old, and naturally your bones should be weak, naturally your eyes should grow dim, you refuse to be weak. That means your health becomes a sign and a wonder. These signs shall follow them that believe. Some men in the Old Testament, without the Holy Ghost, were already walking in it. At 120, the Bible said Moses' eyes were not dim, neither his body was abated. The guy remained strong because he understood the mysteries of the kingdom. You are not supposed to live healthy. You are supposed to be the expression of divine health. You are supposed to show the world what it means to be healthy. You are supposed to show it. So you live here until when you get tired, you tell God, "I want to go now." Did you not read about Simeon? When Simeon wanted to die, he couldn't die until Jesus was born, and he said, "Now my soul can depart in peace." How can somebody be celebrating that he's going to die? Because he knows this thing so much. No plague, no affliction can kill him. Paul said, "For me to die is gain." That means I would have desired to die to be with the Lord, but I can't. That's why Paul entered the city. They stoned him to death. The Bible said the brethren stood around him and he stood up. He stood up immediately and he said, "Let's go to the next city." They stone you to death. You wake up, won't you rest? How about the injury? The injuries were healed instantly. You need to understand how things work. The thing was healed. And this guy worked so much in this thing, he knows it. A point came, they said, in Acts 19 verse 11, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. And if those handkerchiefs touched the sick, it healed them. In Acts chapter 5 verse 15, it said when Peter came out of the synagogue, they had to put sick people on the road that his shadow may touch them. And everyone that a shadow touches is healed of whatsoever. That's the life. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will now cast out devils. That means they have authority to rule in the demonic realm. You are not the one who is afraid of demons. Demons are afraid of you. Because demons can't cast you out. You cast them out. You are a tormentor in the demonic realm. Yes, you are. What I want you to see in that scripture is that this power is not for apostles. This power is not for prophets. It said this sign shall follow them that believe. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you believe? Do you believe? Then from today, your name is a sign and a wonder. From today, you are a sign and a wonder. From today, you are a tormentor in the demonic realm. You don't need to be ordained a bishop to walk in divine health. These signs shall follow them that believe. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, even if they were to drink any deadly thing. Jesus himself called it deadly. That means Jesus knows that this thing kills. He said, but even if you were to drink, if he had said, if you drink anything, would have said, okay, maybe it's water. He said, even if they were to drink any deadly thing, he didn't say it shall not hurt them. He said, it shall by no means. You become invincible in your world. But it comes with an understanding that one, the legality the devil has to make you sick have been taken away. Number two, the authority the devil has over your body. He no longer has it. You now have it. So you can punish him and you can determine what your state is like. You are a wonder to your generation. That's why I said you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. God's own special people. He said you were called to showcase the excellencies of God. And one of the excellencies of God is power. So if I sit somewhere and I stand up and you sit there, something will happen to you. I know. Not because I'm an apostle, but because I believe. I was driving on the airport road and I saw a friend of mine. His name is Nelson. He's my flight agent. And I stopped in my hilarious way. Nelson, where are you going to? And Nelson looked at me and rushed and said, well done, sir. Before he spoke, he now said, please, this my sister have been married for 5 years. Without any issue. It was not a healing service. I went down. I said, in the name of Jesus, take him. In 2 weeks, the lady took him. 2 weeks. I say it and call names. And it's not just about bodies. Because your finances can also be sick. Oh, you don't know. You think we came to heal only people's bodies. Somebody will live here this week and step into the realm of millions. You don't know. A man came to me here last week. On Monday, after the prayers, I just walked to him straight. I said, come. I move you into the realm of wealth. In less than 4 days, he went and sold 7 buildings. 7, not 1, not 2. He used his mouth. He said, please, sir, I don't want to testify because we are talking in billions. 7. When he told me, I thought, okay, maybe he saw these small buildings in Mararaba. You don't know what God wants to do with you. What do you think Jesus said? Don't talk anyhow. No idle word will be forgiven. Because you are a God, you are a king in the realm of the demonic. Everything you say is creative. 7 buildings. He told me, I'm a real estate agent. He said, you can't conclude a deal like this until after many months. He said, it will take months. Something will shift in your life from this hour. Amashiach, Lion of Judah.
agune temba Yeshua
Yeshua
Amashia
Lion of
Judah
Agune temba.
We were not taught truth, so we look for men of God, we look for apostles, we look for prophets. See, when you come for meetings like this, you should come to be equipped. You are the one to manifest God. He said to build them for the work of the ministry. When you show up like this, you should come and tell us, I prayed for two dead men last week. They woke up. You should come and tell us, I'm looking for people with crutches. I can't find them. If you don't wake up to who you are in God, you can't see this thing. In Romans chapter 6 verse 11, it said you have been awoken to God. And in 1 John chapter 4 verse 17, it said, as he is, so are you in this world. He wasn't talking about the Jesus that died. He was talking about the Jesus that resurrected. As he is, that's the glorified Christ. He said, so are you in this world. You are a sign. You are a wonder. Everything you say can generate power. Everything you touch, a change can be created. But you need to know. Who devil can put you in bondage? You. Yeshua. Please sit down. Amashia. Lion of Judah. Quickly. Before I tell you about your work, let me explain three misconceptions that keep people in sickness. Three misconceptions. The worst thing that will happen to you is to be taught wrongly. If you are taught wrongly, you will believe wrongly. And if you believe wrongly, you will be a victim in life. What is the first misconception around healing? Number one, God is not willing to heal all the time. People believe the day they were not healed, God didn't want to heal. People believe that God doesn't heal every time. There's one demonic explanation of Bible that I heard before. They said Jesus walked into the synagogue every day. The man that was at the beautiful gate was there. He didn't heal him. Did the Bible tell you he was there? Those are demonic biblical interpretation to keep a generation in bondage. Nobody ever came to Jesus and he sent him back. And Jesus is the graphic expression of the will of God. In Matthew chapter 8 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible said Jesus was coming down from the mountain. He had taught for 3 days non-stop. He should be tired. He said a leprous man walked up to him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And the Bible said Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. He is ever willing. There is no day you come to God that he can't heal you, or he won't will heal you, or he doesn't want to heal you. Put that wrong misconception aside. That's why people are not aggressive to receive. Because they think if they are not healed today, they'll be healed tomorrow. The more you are not healed, the more difficult it becomes for your faith to be released. Jesus is healing today. And Jesus is healing now. Is there no man that cometh to me, will I in any wise cast away? The second misconception about healing is that some sicknesses are bigger than others. So people assume that, well, headache can be healed, but not cancer. And so when God is touching people, they assume that a small, small cases he's dealing with. Let me show you a scripture. In Matthew 17 verse 20, he said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, if your faith is as a grain of a mustard seed, he said, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed into a yonder place. And he said, it shall be removed. If it stopped there, it would have been beautiful enough. That a mustard seed spiritual equivalence is a mountain. But it didn't stop there. He said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. So the same faith that heals headache is the faith that heals cancer. The same faith that heals migraine is the faith that raised the dead. The problem is that in your head, you assume that your faith is not strong enough to handle this matter. If it was an apostle, it would have happened. If it was a prophet, it would have happened. And that's why the situations you should have dealt with in your bedroom, you have traveled kilometers to look for a man to use the same faith that you refuse to use to address that situation. What is the third misconception around healing? Your ancestral sin or ancestral covenant. There's a legal sin in the spirit. Something. There's a legal sin. Something is stopping you. It's a joke. Jesus never, and none of the apostles ever, told anybody that had any condition that the altar of their father's house is stopping the power of God. The altar of your father's house is stopping the power of God. You will never see it in the Bible. They are human philosophies. Because when we pray for the sick and they are not healed, in order to satisfy our ego, we now say it's altar. Which altar or which covenant is stronger than the covenant of the blood of Jesus? Many people are in bondage going to repent over what their grandfathers did. When you gave your heart to Christ, were you asked to repent? If eternal life was given to you, you were not asked to repent from the sin of your grandfather. Is it the headache or the cancer that you will go back? What about your fifth or tenth grandfathers? Is it because you know the last three and you know what they did? Do you know how many grandfathers you have to Adam? Can you repent of all their sins? Human made doctrine that have kept people in bondage. And so you confess the sin of your father, you confess the sin of your grandfather, and you stop at the fourth bloodline. Why not you go to the 50th one? Do you even know if your 50th grandfather is an Egyptian? Funny. You will trace it one day, and you will trace it too. I'm telling you why people cannot receive healing. I'm an evangelist. Imagine I go to the crusade ground and I meet 20,000 people and I want to pray for the sick and I want to do interview so that all of them will repent from the sin of their grandfather before I pray. I will grow old in 1 week. In the name of Jesus, it's enough. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some of the news are covenants. Some of the news are altars. Some of the news are demons. So whichever knee it is, at the name of Jesus, if you will believe this thing today, you will be shocked. Most of the people that tell you it's your ancestry, when they want to deal with it, what do? They still tell you to confess the blood of Jesus. They still tell you to confess the cross. It's unnecessary ritual. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you already confessed the blood, you already confessed the cross, you already confessed the resurrection. What you need to do is to use the name of Jesus to take what belongs to you. Telling somebody that the sin of his father or the covenant of his father is what's stopping him from receiving healing today is an affront against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an insult against the covenant of the blood of Jesus. But many remain in sickness because of their ignorance. That's why I say my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The places where they do this thing, they record the least healing. The least. And you can take a census if you want. But you come to certain places, they trivialize sickness. The man of God just comes up and dance. And when he's danced, he says, cancer, go, you are healed. You will see testimonies upon testimonies because they just glorify Jesus. Yeshua Amashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba. Yeshua Amashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba. The angels of healing are about to start working now. There's somebody on the gallery by my right. You have been suffering from an infection. You have been suffering for an infection on this gallery. The Lord has touched that person.
Sometimes when I call these kind of cases, because of the sensitive nature, I don't want to call the people out. But it's an infection. I'm seeing you itching, and it's almost becoming embarrassing. Okay, she's under the power. The angels have come. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah. There's something I need to teach you. Close to that pillar there, that way, I'm seeing somebody that has something that has to do with the heart, your heart. There's this burning sensation in your heart that is so uncomfortable. It has affected you for months now. Literally, when it begins, it looks as if you want to throw up. It's something around your heart, your chest region, here. Is there anybody there like that? Quickly, I want to release something. You are the one around the pole. Put your hand on your chest. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Temba. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Temba. I'm seeing something happening online. I'm seeing a young lady with a speck, a transparent speck. You have had this eye condition for about 5 years. The Lord is touching that person. You can write it at the comment box. They will pick it. And I'm seeing somebody with a growth around your chest region, towards your breast. That growth is dematerializing now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I curse that growth. Before I minister, let me explain this. I need you to know this. You have seen the works of the devil. You have seen the works of Jesus. Here is the work of man. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Temba. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "What is the work of God?" And Jesus answered them and said, "This is the work of God. He said that you believe in the Son and in Him that have sent Him. So what you must do to receive is that you must believe." And there's a protocol to it. The first thing you must do around believing is that you must know it. If you don't know it, you can't believe. He said, how can they believe if they don't know? He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's why I'm taking time to explain to you that the reason you were sick is because the devil put his finger on it. And the reason you'll be healed is because Jesus kicked away the finger of the devil. And so the first thing for you to do in order to receive is to be consciously aware that this job is already done. So you've got to know it. And so in Isaiah 53 from verse 5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He said, by his stripes we are healed. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, he quoted that same scripture. But this time, he quoted it in the past tense. He said, by his stripes you were healed. So you need to know that God is not coming to heal you today. You are the one taking your healing today. Your healing has already been available for over 2,000 years. The reason you have not had it is because you have not received it. Because in the spirit, you can only experience when you take. The word is to lambano. If I put money in your account, you can die of hunger until you take it. And the way to take it is, number one, to know, and then number two, to take. So your healing has already been available. The way to take it, number one, is to know that it's already there. Now that you know, then you enter the second thing. What's the second thing? You begin to build expectations. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 24, it said, without every contradiction, the expectation of the righteous can never be cut short. Many people are not receiving their healing because they don't build expectations. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 20 and 22. Let's see what the Bible said. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and 22. It said there was a woman with the issue of blood. It said she has suffered all kinds of things from doctors and physicians, but was not made better until she heard about Jesus. And she didn't just jump at Jesus. The Bible said, she said to herself, if only I may but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So she created an expectation. You don't just throw into a healing service and hope that you'll be healed. Yes, you can be healed, but there is a sure way. The sure way is that you know, and then you build expectation. Sometimes you are coming for a healing service, you tell yourself, the moment the man is decreeing, the power will hit me. And you see yourself hit and going under the power. And true to the word of the Lord, according to your expectation, God will program it. Because the expectation of the righteous can never be cut short. So you what? Know it, you build expectation, and then number three, you accept it. I know you have struggled with that growth for 2 years. I know the blood has been flowing for 5 years. But Jesus came tonight to tell you that he sent his word and he healed them. And so you tell yourself, healing may, weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. Why I look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. I have seen this growth for long, but today I look away from it and I look at the word of the Lord. If you don't consciously accept it, the power of God can't travel in your direction. Remember, sometimes you come to God, he may not know you are there. But there is a way to receive healing, even though God doesn't know you are there. Did you read the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus did not know that she was there. But you don't always need to call God's attention to receive your healing. He is called the El Shaddai. The thing is flowing. And anybody can tap into it. But the way to tap into it is what? You know it. She knew that Jesus is a healer. She built expectation. He doesn't need to call my name. He doesn't need to look at me. If I touch him, I will be healed. And the moment she built that expectation and touched him, virtue left him. And Jesus turned. And Jesus said, who touched me? Because Jesus didn't know who took the healing. Who touched me? I know virtue have left me. I don't know who the person is, but somebody has taken something from me. So you can take, because of God's benevolence, you can take from him even when he's not aware. That's how we walk healing. We insist on it through revelation, progressive revelation, and we take it by force. He said the violent takes it by force. So you know it, you build expectation towards it, and then you accept it. And after you accept it, you take it. How do you take it? Let me show you two ways of taking it. The first way to take it is to break out with joy. You don't take something and you are moody. No. He said, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. A man who wants to take is a man who is ready to celebrate. He told Abraham, you will be with child. But it took Abraham 25 years to be able to take it. If you study the book of Romans chapter 4, from verse 18 to 20, Abraham learned this secret. He was trying everything, it was not working. And in verse 21, he said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving thanks. The moment Abraham began to give thanks and praise God, instantly the dead womb of Sarah received life. The impotent Abraham received life. That's how it works. Paul knew this thing so much that even in prison, Paul was celebrating. Because he knew the way out of prison is not crying. I know you have cried in the midnight for long. But if you only dance your way, you will dance your way to progress. He said in Acts chapter 16, from verse 26 to 27, he said they were put in prison. And he said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. The moment they began to celebrate, the jealousy of God was released. Many people don't know how to receive. Some, even when they are healed, they say, yes, I'm the one. As if they are angry with God for healing them. And when the devil knows that they don't know how to take it, he will take it from them. You celebrate. That's how you take it. How do you take it? Number two, you act it out. Jesus knows
that your leg is broken.
He says, stand up and walk. It is in standing up that you will begin to walk. If you don't stand up, you can't walk. Did you read the story in Acts chapter 3? In verse 10, the Bible said, the man went into the synagogue, walking and limping and praising God. The healing had not yet been perfected. The man didn't sit down to say, I'm still feeling small pain here. While he was yet limping, he was already jubilating. And the more you jubilate, the more the process is accelerated. Too many people don't know how to act it out. They are waiting for everything to happen on their bed. It doesn't work like that. It's as you are on your way that the power of God will meet you. I'm showing you why many can't receive what's available. They can't accept it with joy. And so they don't believe it. They can't act it out. Why would Jesus tell Peter to walk on water? Do men walk on water? If it be you, bid me come. And he said, come. And Peter began to walk on water. The moment he doubted, he drowned in the presence of Jesus. Moses cried to the Lord, Lord, deliver us. He said, go forward. Go forward where? Are you not seeing the Red Sea? Should I go forward into the sea? But the Bible said, when they moved, it said, with the blast of his nostril, he parted the Red Sea. There is something God wants to do that he cannot do until you act. In James chapter 2, verse 19, it said, thou believest that there's only one God, thou doest well. It said, the devil also believes and trembles. It said, but oh ye vain man, faith without works is dead. Today, somebody is having pain on your limbs. The moment the word of the Lord go forward, you will jump up. You will jump up without caution, and you will discover what will happen to you. Somebody has pain, you can't lift your hand. You will begin to lift it in praising God, and something will happen to you, because you cannot live here without affliction. How do you take it? Number 4 is by testifying. In Luke chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus told 10 lepers, you are healed. The Bible said as they were going, they discovered they were healed. Meanwhile, there's a lesson for you to learn there. When Jesus spoke, nothing happened to them. As they were going, that was when they were healed. You may come for the meeting and you have not noticed the manifestation. Don't begin to grumble. Sustain that atmosphere of joy and carry it with you. Your healing may be on your way home. But he said, one, upon noticing that he was made whole, he said he came back to glorify God. And Jesus was conscious. He said, where are the 9? Were they not 10 who were made whole? Too many people are not releasing their healing because they are too big to testify. God heals them. They say, well, this is good. The day you will lie on stretcher, you will shout the name of, it's not your portion. You testify. You testify. You don't keep it to yourself. Acts 3 verse 8. It said the man was leaping and was giving glory to God. You testify. Somebody is about to receive the healing, the long awaited healing now. Now you know it. Now you will rejoice. Now you will accept it. You will act your faith and you will testify. Listen, you may be completely deaf and then suddenly you start hearing little sound. Don't say, this thing must be perfected first. Me, I'm not a fake person. No. I want to be sure that it has happened. You will be there for a long time. The Bible said he was walking and what? And limping. Acts chapter 3 verse 8. Yet he was already glorifying God. I know you are blind, but now you can see partially. Begin to glorify God. Go and testify and see what God does to you. Because when the leper came to Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus said, be thou made whole. The wholeness dimension of healing is to the ones who testify. If you don't testify, you can't walk in the wholeness. And this is why we are encouraged always to know it, to build expectations, to act our faith out, and to testify. Are you ready to receive your healing now? Stand to your feet and lift your hands toward heaven. And place a demand on that thing that is disturbing you. It may be a growth. It may be deafness. It may be blindness. On ground and online. I told you, God told me he's not healing by energy. That's why I maneuvered my way out of that atmosphere. He said he sent his word and he healed them. And he delivered them from all the oppressions of the devil. There may be pain on your back. There may be pain on your chest. There may be pain on your neck. It may be an issue with your eyes. It may be an issue with your ear, on ground and online. This is the moment of the Spirit.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.